Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. The U.S. Market Update with Money FM 89.3.
All right, folks, let's take a look at how markets are shaping up. And we've got a bit of a lackluster trading day on Wall Street, but we did get some new records done. The Nasdaq Composite was higher by 0.6% to 17,020, breaking above the 17,000 mark for the first time ever. And a lot of it was boosted by Nvidia's jump of more than 7%. The S&P 500 slightly higher by 0.02% to 5,306. And we've got the Dow Jones Industrial Average bucking the trend somewhat, down 0.6% or around 217 points to close at 38,853. Now, helping us out today is Leila Pence. She is the president for Pence Wealth Management. Leila, thanks for joining us on the show today.
You're very welcome.
Hey, glad to have you back on. And we've got a lot to talk about, but I think right front and center is what's going on with Nvidia. You know, it's been such a strong rally in the past year. I'm looking at a stock price year to date over 130%. And there doesn't seem to be any stopping yet.
I think every time I've been on, I've mentioned that, you know, our conviction, our three convictions is big tech and artificial intelligence. And it really is, you know, I kind of look at artificial intelligence, what's happening, kind of like what the old days when it was the internet. I remember when we didn't have internet.
Yeah.
And it changed our world. I think artificial intelligence is certainly going to change our world. And every company needs to buy these chips to keep up with what's going on. And there's just huge, huge growth potential. And the company that is the front runner is getting a lot of that. And, you know, I remember last time I was looking here, you know, I said Magnificent Seven are going to continue to do well because that's where the growth is. That's where the revenues is. That's where the earnings are.
Yeah, exponential growth looks like for all things AI. Of course, applications, I think a lot of us still don't have a full idea of where things can go. You know, the potential applications could still see AI becoming a strong driver for many other companies as well. And talking about other companies, we've got the Magnificent Seven. They've been doing pretty okay as well. What's your take on getting this sector right now after such a strong run?
Really, because that's where the growth is. I mean, the market goes where it's treated best. You know, investors go where they're treated best. And where there's growth, where there's earnings, those are the companies that have earnings, and they're not so susceptible to other things because they are producing products and services that people really need. If you are going to continue to compete as a company, I mean, AI is not only in just technology, it really is involved a lot in healthcare. There's all these new applications and new apps and new things that are in healthcare, which is a huge thing, that need artificial intelligence and need those chips. Cars, do you know that more than 50% of a car is made out of semiconductors? And those semiconductors are now using a lot more artificial intelligence. I know, you know, I was in San Francisco this weekend, and I saw all these self-driving cars. They are all everywhere. And, you know, here in L.A., and they don't really see them as much, but there, every other car was a self-driving car. You can't miss them because they have all these satellites, and they use a lot of other things, but certainly artificial intelligence is very much very, very important in there, and just beginning. It's an infancy.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. There's been some talk about how we should be looking at the AI 5. They include the likes of Nvidia, Microsoft, AMD, TSMC, as well as Broadcom. So these players in the AI space, a bit of a sweet spot for them. All right, let's take a look at what else is also playing out when it comes to some of the trends. And I think you've got your eye on weight loss drugs. And this is a huge one because it is a huge market and it does look like supply is struggling to catch up demand.
Yeah, there's just not enough supply, and there's more demand. There's 5 million people right now using this drug. It is projected to go to 50 million easily that will be using these drugs because they really do work. And not only do they work in just weight loss, but they really cut down on all the disease that come with being overweight, like diabetes, like heart issues. And can control these things, it's not only going to reduce your weight, but it really is going to reduce our deficit. As you know, in the United States, we have a huge deficit. And our biggest cost, our biggest expense in our government spending is healthcare. And it normally happens at the later ages when people start getting really sick with many diseases, you know, diabetes and heart issues. And if you could treat these issues by having these weight loss drugs, not only are they going to really help those individuals lose weight, but it's going to help reduce the cost for the federal government and the healthcare costs, which could be a game changer for the United States in terms of beginning to at least get some control over the deficit. And so there's going to be a big push to have more of these weight loss. They're building more factories to build these. They're refining them. There's potentially going to be pills instead of just the shots. But the shots now are working, and there's more and more people getting on them on a daily basis. And there's more demand than there is supply right now.
Yeah, Leila, talking about the government spending becoming a factor, this also plays into the next point you have, which is infrastructure. And I think this year is going to be interesting because you've got elections as well. How much will that play a part?
Big part. We have such a huge need here in the United States in terms of bridges and highways and so many areas, airports that need to be rebuilt. And a lot of, specifically bridges, are really, as you don't know if you know, but a few months ago we had a bridge disaster. And it's not a need, it's a requirement. And so they passed this funding back in 2021, but it takes a long time for that money to start going into the economy and start being given to the various companies, because there's a whole bidding process. They have to approve the project and it has to go through. So it's finally this year it's starting to, the money actually starting to get spent and starting to go to the various infrastructure projects that need to. And that is also one of the reasons it's helping with the employment. I mean, you would think with interest rates that are high right now, one of the problems we have here is the fact inflation is still sticky because we have people are employed. We don't have, we thought that would be in a minor recession maybe or a slowdown in hiring, but there's 1.6 jobs available for every person looking for a job. And that's because the federal government is spending so much money in the economy and rebuilding and, of course, construction. So there's a lot more, people, a lot more jobs than there's people to fill them, which is not helping inflation, unfortunately. It's slowing down, the drop of inflation. But because there's just so many, there's many more jobs, and we really think we need to have a little slowing down in that area so that inflation become under control. But it's a lot slower than we thought it would be.
Yeah, Leila, talking about needing some time for policy to trickle through, what is your take on where the Fed is going to put its policy settings for this year? We've been talking about how, as you pointed out, there's been some signs inflation is still sticky, the jobs market is still resilient. So when do you think the Fed is able to cut rates?
For sure, we think, well, nothing's for sure, but most likely December, and then potentially we could have a cut in September. It really depends. Like, we have the PCE coming out this week. We see where the job numbers come in. If we start, we had a good job number in terms of slowing down the job market, it was at 175, which one of the lowest, which propelled the markets higher, because when that happens, it means interest rates may go down a little quicker than the market thinks. But the earliest we can have another cut would either be September or November. November, the Fed meets the day after the election, so they may choose to wait till after that day just because they don't want to be looked at as being anything to do with swaying the election one way or the other. They don't want to be playing, so they may wait till November. Unless the numbers really, if inflation starts coming down a lot quicker, then they could move in September. That would be the earliest they would move, but most likely, probably November and then December.
Okay.
If they do two. Otherwise, they will do one in December.
So optics are an additional factor to consider when you're looking at FOMC. All right, we'll be in conversation with Leila Pence. She is the president for Pence Wealth Management. Leila, thanks for your time and insights as always. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
Save Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.